Well, welcome everyone and happy 2019. Happy New Year, everyone. Hope you had a great New Year's Eve. This is going to be a little bit of a different of a service because it being the first Sunday of the year, we're going to focus a little bit on just preparing ourselves for 2019. If you are visiting or new to our church family, my name is Aaron. I'm the pastor here. I'm so glad that you chose to be with us today. Those of you joining us online in our cafe and our other services, we're so glad to have you. When you came in today, if you are new or visiting our church family, they gave you this worship guide that was written with you in mind. Hopefully it'll answer any basic questions you may have about today's church experience. Inside, you're going to find message notes. Again, hang on to these. It's a very different message today. There's a lot of opportunity to reflect and set goals and pray through the new year with your notes today. And then most importantly is our prayer card. We highlight this every week. And let me just say this is the best time of the year to turn one of these in because yesterday we began our annual 21 days of prayer and fasting. So this room is going to be filled every day with people praying over these cards, praying for you. And so if there's anything at all that you're facing right now in life, let us come alongside and pray with you. We'd love to pray for you. So take a moment, fill this out at the end of the service. You can turn this in to any of our leaders or put it in any tithe and offering box. We'll have a team of people praying for you. As I said, we're in the middle of 21 days of prayer and fasting. We set aside 3 weeks at the beginning of every year just to see God with all of our heart. So Monday to Friday, starting tomorrow, this room from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. will be filled with people praying, and you are invited to come and join us. It really is a great experience to be a part of it. And then Saturdays at 9 a.m., this is also the season where we fast. I love what Clive said last week. If you were not here last week, and I cannot encourage you enough to listen to the message, my best friend in all the world, Clive Urquhart, was speaking, and he was talking about fasting, and he said, fasting is not so much what you don't do or what you take away. It really is more about what you replace it with. And that really is the heart of fasting, is creating space for God to fill that space, for God to do something new in your life and new in your heart and reveal himself to you in greater ways. We've got some great resources on our website for fasting, so you can go online and look at those and kind of prepare, and you can join us anytime. You can fast for 7 of the 21 days, 14 of the 21 days. You can fast one meal a day, or Daniel fasts. There's a lot of different types of fasting that you can do. Just encourage you to join us in some form of fasting as well as the prayer. If you physically can't be here in the morning to join us for prayer, you can join us on Facebook. We're going to stream everything through Facebook Live, so you can join us that way. If you have kids at home and you can't get out of the house that early, join us on Facebook Live. And lastly, we have brand new prayer guides this year that just came out. We have updated these. We've added some prayers to them. We've added one of my favorite prayers, the prayer of Jabez. It's just a guide and kind of a manual on how to pray through things. What I've learned is a lot of people would pray if they knew how to pray. A lot of people just don't know how to pray. They've never really been taught or trained. And so this manual really takes it from the very beginning, the basics, makes it very easy, very reachable. One of the things I did yesterday in our Saturday morning prayer, we opened 21 days yesterday. This room was filled with people. I just went through and I prayed some of the prayers in here just over myself and just personalized them, made it very, very easy just to kind of read through the prayers that were already here in different areas of my life. So this is a great manual. These are free of charge. They are for everyone, not just for those who come on in the mornings. This is for everyone for your prayer life. It's something for all year long, but it's just a very handy guide to prayer. So you can pick some of these up on your way out today. Well, with this being the very first weekend of the year, I wanted to do something different with the series that we're in, especially different today, and really set you up for the year. I wish, thinking back on my life and my journey, I wish my church would have done a weekend like this for me years ago. It would have really helped me with my journey and my walk and just kind of some of my spiritual goals and where I wanted to be. Because what we're looking at today is what are our next steps? What's next? Because the reality is every single person here has a next step. You have a next, I have a next step. You know, as your pastor who've been serving God for over 20 years, I have a next step in my journey with Jesus. There's something more for me that I haven't achieved yet, that I haven't gotten yet. There are more depths and heights to go to in my spiritual journey. Everybody has a next step. And whether you're a Christian or not, every single person is on a spiritual journey. The reality is, as a human being, we are spirits that have a body. We are not bodies that have a spirit. We're spirits that have a body. So we are spiritual beings, meaning that all of us, whether we recognize it or not, are on a spiritual journey. The challenge that I've seen for most people is they don't know what's next. Most people, one, they don't even know where they're at in the spiritual journey, and they don't know what's next in the spiritual journey. Like, what is my next step? Proverbs 29 says, without a vision or without clarity, or if you don't know what your next step is, it says the people perish, or the people cast off restraint, or you kind of run your car off the road into a tree or something like that. That's what happens when you don't have clarity, when you don't have a next step. And so what I want to hopefully do today is allow you a process to get some clarity, to really identify what is your next step for 2019? What is your next step in your spiritual journey for 2019? And in fact, one of the things we've done as a church is we've designed the entire vision of our church around a spiritual roadmap. One of the things that I say about being a pastor is my job as a pastor is I'm really a spiritual tour guide. And one of your responsibilities is you got to figure out whether or not you're on the right bus. Like I'm leading a bus ride. Like, I'm a spiritual tour guide, and I have an agenda for your life. You got to figure out whether it's the right agenda for your life. In other words, if you commit to our church family, you join our church family, there are places we're going to try to take you. There is an agenda that we have for you. You have a responsibility to figure out what that agenda is and decide whether it's the right agenda for you. And so what I like to do is I like to lay out our roadmap in our vision. Because when you study the Bible cover to cover, God wants four things to happen inside of every single human being. So we've designed our church around these four things. We just figure, like, if this is what God wants for you, we should just run that play. Like, that's the best plan for our church if that's what God wants for you. And so this is our spiritual roadmap. This is, if you commit to our church family, here's where we're going to try to take you. The first stop is know God. You know, this is the first part of our vision. We want you to know God. We want you to be in a relationship with Him. And if you know Him, we want you to know Him better. This is why we say that God doesn't want to be your religion. He wants to be your Father. He's never about building a religion. He's all about building a family. He wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And then once you know Him, the next stop is find freedom. And what does that mean? All of us here today have issues from our past. Like, we've all been through things. We've all been hurt. We've all been bullied. We've all been betrayed. We've had families that have fallen apart around us. We've had business deals that have gone bad. We all have a little bit of baggage from our yesterdays. Now, for some of us, that baggage completely cripples us and debilitates us. For others, it just, at worst, slows you down. But the thought is, if you could be 1% better, is it worth it? Like, if you could just get 1% better, is it worth it for your family? Is it worth it for your marriage? Is it worth it for your kids? So what we want to do is we want to deal with our yesterdays so that we can embrace our tomorrows. And that's what it means to find freedom, to let go of the things that have held us back. And then the next stop is discover purpose. We want to help every single person here figure out that God created you with purpose. You are intentional. You are not an accident. God put you on planet Earth. And not just that, but God chose you for 2019. God chose you for this community. That's how intentional God was about your life. There is a purpose to you. And we want to help you figure out why God made you and why God put you here and why God chose 2019 for you and North County for you. Like what was the master plan? And then finally, our end game is to get you to a place where you're making a difference. Because we know this is the highest level of human fulfillment, according to psychology, when you live a life beyond yourself. When you're living a life to make a difference, when you're impacting the lives of others, it is the most fulfilled, the most satisfied place you will ever be. And we know this is simply the best way to pastor you. The best way to pastor you is to simply take you through these different steps, which is the vision of our church. So there's really two goals today and through this series. One, identify where you're at right now. And then two, identify what is your next step? Like, what is the next thing that God has for you? And again, knowing the next step gives you desire, it gives you motivation, it gives you focus, it gives you clarity. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 2 puts it like this. He said, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Now, I want to say, he doesn't say work hard for salvation. Salvation is by grace and grace alone. There is nothing you can do to become a Christian. You cannot earn your way to God. You cannot obey well enough. You cannot be a good enough person for God to accept you. You do not work for salvation. Salvation is the grace of God and the grace of God alone. No, but here's the dilemma. A lot of people say, well, it's all about grace or it's all about works. No, you got to work hard. No, it's all about grace. Jesus did it all. There's actually a balance between the two. Grace is what Jesus does for you. Works are what you do for him. And so what Paul says here is don't work for your salvation. That's grace. Jesus gives you that. Work hard to show the result of it. Work hard to show people what Jesus has done in your life. Work hard to show people the grace that God has given you. And how do you do it? You obey God with deep reverence and fear. And that's just a really fancy biblical way to say take a next step. If you want to know how to say take a next step in Bible language, it's simply obey God. Because God has a next step for you. God has a direction for you. God has a plan for you. And when you obey him, you're taking next steps. He goes on to say, for God is working in you. That means all of us are in process. None of us have arrived. Every single one of us, God is doing something in our life. And then here's the part I love, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. See, this is what makes Christianity different from every other religion. God actually gives you the desire to want to do it. So Christianity is not this life of slavery where you got to obey all this stuff you don't want to obey and do all this stuff you don't want to do. When you actually do Christianity right, you have a desire. Like, I don't have to read my Bible every day. I actually enjoy reading my Bible every day. I want to read my Bible. The more I get in relationship with God, the more the entire Christian life becomes a want to. Why? Because God gives me the desire. So what I want to do today is really explain what next steps look like. For those of you that have been questioning the one-year challenge, we've had a number of people email us and call us about, you know, how do I do this one-year challenge? Like, what is the first step? I want to try to break it out today and help you understand what it really means today. So we're going to begin at the beginning. And here's why. There are many people that I know who found Jesus. Like, they know Jesus, and they've actually been walking with him for a long time, but they never took their baby steps. You see, baby steps are critical in the journey. And there are a lot of people been around for a long time and they've skipped over some of the fundamentals. They've skipped over some of the critical basic steps of Christianity. And Peter, the disciple, he puts it like this in 1 Peter. He says, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk. Now, if you know anything about a newborn baby, we've had two in our family. Newborns, it's a very critical season of their life. It's probably one of the most critical seasons of their life because you got to get everything like there's so many things you got to do when you're a newborn. Like when they're born, for example, I mean, the doctor comes rushing in, you get to say hi to the baby, and then all of a sudden they rush him away and they're poking him and prodding him and testing him and doing all sorts of things to the why? Because it's a critical season of life. Like, you've got to get the nutrients right, nutrition, care. There's all sorts of things that you have to do for a newborn so that they develop the way that they're supposed to develop. And there are people today who have problems because things weren't done right when they were newborns. Things didn't happen the way they should have happened, and there's adjustments that need to be made. Peter's saying it's the same way spiritually. When you begin this spiritual journey as a newborn baby, you've got to make sure that you crave pure spiritual milk. You got to make sure you take the baby steps. You got to make sure that you get the nutrients in you that you need to get so that you develop right, so you don't have issues in your faith and issues in your Christianity later on. And here's why: so that you may grow up. That's the point. We want to grow. We want to mature. We don't want to stay baby spiritually forever. We want to grow up. And here's the benefit. Some of you have friends who are mature in the faith. And here's what you've noticed about their life. You've seen them go through tragedies. You've seen them go through storms. You've seen them go through some pretty difficult adversity in their life. And for whatever reason, they handled it differently. They didn't fall apart. They didn't crumble. They didn't come crashing down. Like, they had this peace, they had a resolve, they had a faith. In the middle of things you've seen destroy other people, they just had this faith to endure. Why? They were mature. They were mature because they made a decision to grow up in their faith. And this is what I want to help you do as your pastor. I want to help you grow. I want to help you mature. And I love this line, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. God is so good. Christianity is so good. It's good news. If when you hear Christianity, it doesn't sound like good news, you didn't hear about Christianity, you heard about religion. Because it is good news. And it's funny to me, because one of the criticisms I hear a lot about certain churches, and I've even heard this about our church, is there's people out there that say, well, you're just a feel-good church. Well, what's the alternative, a feel-bad church? Like, what do they want us to be? It's like, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. So what I want to do today is I want to give you some baby steps that some of you have taken, some of you may have missed some of these very critical baby steps in your journey, and some of you may be new, and so this is very, very helpful for you. I just want you to ask yourself, have you taken these steps? Here's number one, be water baptized. This is a big one. This is a huge one. All throughout Scripture, as soon as they believed, they were baptized. Now, you may ask yourself, why do I need to be water baptized? Like, what's the point? What's the big deal? Why? Simply put, because the Bible says so. Like, do you need another reason? Like, the Bible says this is the next step. Like, we believe, then we are baptized. And when you study the Bible, it is always post-decision, meaning that we are water baptized after we make the decision to follow Jesus. So, for example, some of you were baptized as babies or baptized as little children, and it really wasn't your decision. It was your parents' decision. And I'm not, you know, discounting that at all or degrading that or demeaning that at all. It's a wonderful celebratory experience, but that's not water baptism biblically. Biblically, you are baptized after you make a decision to follow Jesus. And we see this pattern all throughout the New Testament church. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, it says, those who accepted his message, Peter just gets done preaching, and 3,000 people accepted the message of Christ. 3,000 people surrendered to Jesus. Those who accepted that message were baptized. I mean, it's a pattern all throughout Acts. Acts chapter 8, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So they believed, then they were baptized, post-decision. Post-decision, they were baptized. All it is a public expression of the commitment we made in our heart. Let me give you the best analogy. Water baptism is like a wedding ring. For those of you that are married, you realize that the ring doesn't make you married. The ring just publicly lets people know you are married. So what would my marriage look like if every day, you know, when I left the house in the morning, I go to the garage, I take my ring off, I hang it up in the garage, I go out for the day, and then when I come back at night, I come into the garage, I put the ring back on, and I go into my house. Now, where would my marriage be if I did that for a while? Like, eventually, my wife is going to want to know, why do you keep taking your ring off every time you leave the house? Like, do you not want anybody to know that you're married? Like, are you somehow embarrassed of me? Are you ashamed of me? Are you trying to hide the fact that you are married? Like, why do you keep taking the ring off? You see, this is the thing about Christianity. I get so tired of hearing, like, sports stars and celebrities say things like when they're interviewed in interviews, well, my faith is a private thing. No, I wear my faith on my finger. Like, I wear my wedding ring on my finger because I want everyone to know that I'm married. My faith is not a private thing. My marriage is not a private thing. It is a very, very public thing. And water baptism is one of the ways we celebrate publicly the commitment. It doesn't make us a Christian. It's just our public celebration that we became a Christian, that we believe. Let me give you one more. Simon himself believed and was baptized. So he believed and he was baptized. We're going to do something different this 21 days. At the end of every 21 days, if you've been around for a while, we always end with a Friday night of worship. It's powerful. Friday night, the last day of 21 days, we meet here, we turn the worship team loose. It's an hour and a half of just worship and communion, and it's just a powerful time as a family. What we're going to do this 21 days, this night of worship, is we're actually going to do water baptism during night of worship. So you've seen us do it on the weekend before where we set up the baptismal right in the building. So we're going to set the baptismal up right in here. And in the middle of night of worship, we're going to do water baptism. And so if you've never taken this baby step, email us this week. Email us and sign up and be baptized during night of worship. It's going to be a powerful experience that night, especially with the baptism being included. Here's the second baby step. Join a local church. Now I'm going to hit on this one pretty hard because there's a pushback in our generation on this one. You know, I love what Clive said last week in his message. He said, when we become Christians, when we're born again, we're born into Christ, but we're also born into his body. So we're part of Christ, but we also immediately become part of his body, the body of Christ. You know, the church is the bride of Christ. I mean, it would be hard to have a relationship with Jesus saying, you know, I really like you, but I can't stand your wife. Like it's going to be tough to be close to him with that attitude. And we live in a generation right now where there's a lot of people say, well, I don't need to commit to a local church. I have a Bible. I can pray. I can have my own relationship with God. I don't need a local church to have a relationship with God. Well, let me tell you, there are 30 verses alone in the New Testament that you cannot fulfill if you're not part of a local church. God created you to, yes, be in relationship with him, but also be in relationship with your brothers and sisters, to be committed to a family, to be part of a local church. And let me be clear, it does not have to be this one. It doesn't have to be Coastline. There are great churches here in North County. What you need for your sake, for your spiritual journey, is you need to find one. You need to find a church that you will go all in. You need to find a church where you will serve, you will give your time, you'll give your energy, you'll tithe, you'll give your money, you'll give your passion, you'll get fired up about the vision of the church. For your sake, for your own spiritual journey, you need a church like that. And if it's not this one, let us help you find one that you can go all in. It's critical. This is why we do step one of our growth track. Step one, we actually call step one, become a member. And I'm actually rewriting the course right now because I don't like the word member because I'm a member of 24-Hour Fitness, but when I'm in the locker room, I don't clean up towels when I see towels on the floor. I mean, when you're a member, there's not a whole lot of responsibility to being a member because it's like, you know, I'm paying them to keep the locker room clean. I'm not responsible. But if you are an owner, like a co-owner of 24-Hour Fitness or whatever health club you're a part of, how many know when you go in the locker room, you're picking up towels? Like when you're an owner, there's a different mentality. When you're an owner, there's a different responsibility. So we're getting ready to become a member. We're calling it become an owner because how many of you know being a part of a church should be a little bit different than being a part of a health club? There needs to be a little bit more depth to responsibility and a depth to be part of the family and a depth to the commitment. It is a partnership. It is a co-ownership that we're in this together. Ephesians 2 says, you are a member. There's that word I don't like. But when you study this in the Greek, you'll discover this means a little bit more than being a member of a health club. It's a little bit deeper than that. You are a member of God's very own family. That's capital C, church. Like you're part of the body of Christ at large. And you belong in God's household. That's little C, church. That's the local church. So you belong to the Christian community at large, but you also belong to a household. There is a local church that God is calling you to commit to with every other Christian. Now, why is this so important to God? Because the local church is the hope of mankind. Do you realize the local church is God's answer to the problems in planet Earth? It's the only thing God created to be the solution to the problems in the world. As much as I love law enforcement was not created to be the hope of mankind. As much as I value and honor the military for their service, they weren't created to be the hope of mankind. The local church is God's established hope for mankind. And here's how it works. When you and I partner together, I mean, just look at what Coastline itself is able to accomplish every year in Mexico, in Asia with our church planting and our missionaries in China, the work that we're doing in South America, the work we're doing locally in our community, supporting the Dream Center Los Angeles. Look at what we, as just this little one local church, is able to accomplish. Why? How? It's because a group of people decided to commit together. We decided to leverage our ability. We decided to partner together as a local church, and look at how God is using us. That's how the local church is the hope of the world. Here's number three. Get in a small group. Get in a small group. Once you find your local church, it's critical that you get in a small group within that church. You know, people say all the time, well, that church is getting too large. Can I be honest with you? A church of 100 is too large if you don't know anybody. It's all about, are you connected? Do you have family? Do you have community? And here's why this is so important. This is especially true for teenagers, but it's true for all of us. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You tell me the people that are speaking into your marriage. You show me the people that are speaking into your parenting, the people that are speaking into your life, the people that you're surrounding yourself with. I'll show you exactly what your future is going to look like. Yeah. Like, who's speaking into you? Who's speaking into your marriage? See, it's critical that we surround ourselves with the right people in our life so that we can move down in the right direction that God has for us. See, it's in small groups that we find our place to connect. It's where people know our name. It's in small groups where we protect people. You know, I make a statement a lot that shocks people at first when they first hear it, when you don't understand the context of it. And honestly, if you took like this soundbite and you just took the statement without context, it would be a pretty ugly statement. But the statement is simply this: if you're not in a small group, we can't love you. Now, what do I mean? Well, if you understand that the word love is not an emotion, love is an action, right? Love is not how you feel, it's love is what you do. Then you realize if you're not in a small group, like, we can have the emotional love for you, we can want to love you, we can even feel love for you. We can't practically love you if you're not connected. What happens if you get put in the hospital at 3 o'clock at night? How are we going to know about that as a church? I mean, the office is closed. Who are you going to call? How are we going to know? How are we going to be there by your side supporting you and your family if something happens and you're not connected? You see, small groups is where we're connected. Small groups is where we can call somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning when something happens. And we got people that will rally around us, that will support us, that know our name, that care for us, that can look us in the eye, and they can see when we're faking it or we're wearing a mask and we're trying to say, no, I'm doing okay. No, you're not doing okay. Sit down. Let's talk. Something's going on. Like, who are those group of people in your life? It's critical. And we're actually, God is giving us a lot of clarity right now in our small groups and where we're going this year. I'm gonna be kind of talking about it more in the coming weeks. But when we look at our small groups, we really have three types of groups that we want every single person in our church to be a part of a group every semester. We have small groups. Those are the sermon-based groups. Those are the people who want to take the message notes and go deeper every week. And honestly, that's probably the most important group or the most valuable group you can be a part of. Then we have free market groups. So the people who love to surf or love to exercise. They just get together for different things. And those are incredibly valuable because they're building relationship and they're connecting and they're caring for one another. And then we're developing what we call the foundation series. The way I look at it is if you're part of our church, we have a responsibility to develop you spiritually. Well, there are certain foundations spiritually that when you get these foundations, it helps you become a well-rounded Christian, and it helps you begin to build everything else you need to build. Well, freedom is at the top of the list of our foundation series. Every person in our church at least once needs to go through a freedom small group. It's the key course of our foundation series, freedom. Then we have what we call Financial Peace University. Now, Financial Peace University is for anybody in our church who uses money. So if you use money to buy food, or you use money to pay for gas, or you use money to pay a mortgage payment, or any, that's what Financial Peace University, if you don't use money, it's not for you. If you use money, Financial Peace University, because it's all about how do we handle money God's way. You see, the Bible says a godly person leaves an inheritance for their children and their children's children. That means if I want to be a man of God, I have to leave an inheritance for my grandchildren. How can I leave an inheritance for my grandchildren if I'm drowning in debt? If I don't know how to invest, if I don't know how to steward, if I don't know how to handle things God's way, how am I going to leave anything for my children or my children's children? And so it is for everyone. We have a marriage strong or marriage enrichment course. And I was thinking today, what would our church look like if every single married couple went through a marriage enrichment small group one time? Like, we had a bunch of couples go through it last semester. We have couples who've been married for 30 years who have very healthy, good marriages go through this course, and they came out of it. They say, this is the greatest thing we have ever done. Our marriage went up levels this semester. It just strengthened our marriage. Can you imagine what our church would look like in a year if every single married couple committed one semester to go through a Marriage Strong course and strengthen their marriage and build their marriage? We have one for men. We have one for women. The Model Man course for men, that's going to be fun for the men. I watched week one recently, and it's all on being a man of integrity, paying your bills on time. If you tell your family you're going to be home at 5 o'clock, you know, be home at 5 o'clock. Don't come rolling in at 6 o'clock. I mean, be somebody of your word. Like, be a man of integrity, a man of your word. So we have a whole foundation series. And what we're asking of everyone is Everybody should attend each one that applies to them at least one time to allow us to help develop you into a well-rounded believer. It's going to be powerful. Hebrews says it like this: let us consider how we spur one another on. So the question is, who are you spurring on and who's spurring on you? Because you don't spur on strangers. You can only spur on people you're in a relationship with. This is why small groups are so key. Because you got to spur each other on toward love and toward good deeds, toward living the life that God created you to live. He goes on to say, let us not give up meeting together, as unfortunately too many people are in the habit of doing. Too many people have gotten into this habit of not being a part of small groups. They don't have an intentional group in their life they're connected to, people speaking into their life. But let us encourage one another. And look how important this is. This is huge. All the more as you see the capital D day approaching. That's judgment day. That's the day Jesus comes back. That's capital D day. Look at this. Small groups are part of what prepares you for that day. That's incredible to think about. It's powerful. Here's number four. Start growing. Like, it's time that you stop being spoon-fed and you start learning how to feed yourself a little bit. And I'll be honest with you, I don't mind spoon-feeding you. I enjoy teaching every week. But there's got to come a point where you learn how to feed yourself. There's got to come a point where your spiritual diet consists more of me on Sunday. We have to grow. Let me give you the best way to grow. Read your Bible. Read your Bible every day. If you don't have a plan, stop by the table outside. Get the one-year Bible reading plan. I love this plan. We do it every single year as a church. You get a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, Psalm, Proverb. For the average reader, it's 15 minutes a day, and you will read through the entire Bible in 1 year. And if you miss a day, skip it, because you'll pick it up next year. Like, if you forget to read January chapter 6, guess what? Next year, January chapter 6, 2020, it's going to be the same passages. It's just every year we read through the Bible. Every year, every year. For some of you, it's time to go a little bit deeper and not just read, but study the Bible. Like, one of the things we're doing now over in the cafe and the store, I've asked them to get in study Bibles. Study Bibles, really good study Bibles, because I really believe one of the best things you can do is invest in a very quality, very good study Bible for yourself. Now, they had my personal study Bible, the one I read every day. It's the cultural background study Bible, lots of archaeology, lots of history. They sold out after last service. They're making a list if you want that one. There's four other study Bibles that I also use, and I have this one right here. This is my favorite commentary, Spirit-Filled Life Bible. There's three other study Bibles over there. I cannot encourage you enough, invest in a good study Bible. Here's why. When you're reading the Bible, at the beginning of every good study Bible, when you get the beginning of a book, it'll tell you who the author of the book was. It'll tell you when it was written. It'll tell you why it was written. It'll tell you what was going on historically in just the world, the context of the world for why it was written. There's commentary, there's maps, there's charts. It's one of the best things you can do to go deeper to understand the Bible more. So what I encourage you to do is just go read the back of the books, the back of the box. The back of the box will tell you why the study Bible was created, kind of the type of people it was created for, what this study Bible is unique in. Every study Bible has kind of a different edge, a different flavor, a different feel to it. So just go find the study Bible that is right for you and let God take you deeper this year in His Word. Study His Word. Prayer. The reason we do 21 days of prayer is to grow. The more time I spend with God, the more I grow spiritually. It's why we do the growth track. The growth track. Growth track. It's to help get you on a track of growth. The Freedom Small Group. It's all about growing. The Foundational Series. That's about growing. The special events we do, the men's night and the women's night, it's all about growing. Now, why do we need to grow? Hebrews says, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Again, it's time to stop being spoon-fed. It's time, like I work hard to study and prepare these messages every week, but I want you to know you can do the same thing on your own. You can study and prepare messages for yourself by yourself. Like, you can grow on your own. You don't have to solely be dependent on me. Like, I want to get people to the place where they don't need me, where you can mature and you can grow and you can develop. And I don't have any special access to God that you don't have. You have the same direct connection to God that I have. So let's start. Let's make a commitment to grow this year. Let's make a commitment to go deeper spiritually this year. And then here's number five, find your purpose. And again, we design our church around this. We have a whole part of our vision that focuses on this because you are not on earth to exist. You're not here to just survive. And unfortunately, there's too many people in survival mode. Too many people just trying to keep their head above water. And a lot of people come to church, it's survival mode. It's just like, help me put out the fires in my life. Help me pay the bills. Help me raise these kids. Help me fix this marriage. It's just, I'm barely hanging on right now. And look, if that's where you're at right now, we're here to help you. But our goal is we don't want to leave you there. Because God's plan for your life is not for you to survive life or barely exist or just get through. His plan is to give you a purpose for you to thrive. And what you need is not the answer to your problem. What you need is something bigger than your problems. Something to live for, a purpose, to know that you were made intentionally. And that's what our dream team is all about. You need to understand that our dream team is not because we need to get people doing stuff. No, our dream team is because you were created with purpose, and we want to give you opportunities to live out that purpose, making a difference for God. And here's the way I put it. Think about this. What else did you do in the last 7 days that's going to matter a million years from today? Like, what did you do the last 7 days that's really going to matter a million years from right now? Can I tell you what our dream team is doing right now will? Because every single weekend here as a church, people commit their life to Christ. Every single weekend, people take steps spiritually. Every single weekend, people begin a journey. And that's because of people working in the parking lot. That's because of people making coffee. That's because of people running computers to make sure the lyrics are on the screen. That's because of people serving our children down in the kids' building. That's because of the dream team. They're doing something every single week around here that's going to matter a million years from today. Amen. That's making an eternal difference. It's huge. Paul says in Ephesians, we are God's workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, meaning God had a plan for you. There's a purpose for your life. You're not an accident. God prepared in advance for us to do. That means that before your grandparents ever had a twinkle in their eyes, God was thinking about you. God had a plan for you. There was a reason why God was orchestrating events to get you to planet Earth, because he has something for your life. So the question as we leave today is, what is my next step? What is my next step? Well, I want to help set you up for 2019. And can you imagine what our church would look like a year from now if every single part of our church family took a next step this year? Like, what would we look like if we all committed to one another? Like, if we all committed to each other, I'm going to take a next step spiritually this year. What do you think we could look like in a year from now? Let me give you two verses to encourage you, because again, it's all about steps. Paul says, follow my example. Follow my example. Life is about next steps. The Christian journey is about next steps. So follow my example. Take next steps after my example as I follow the example of Christ. And then 1 John says, someone may say, and this is a wake-up call. Someone may say, I am a Christian. I am on my way to heaven. I belong to Christ. But if he doesn't do what Christ tells him to, he is a liar. It's a wake-up call. Do you realize they say that 80% of America claims to be Christian? Can I ask you a question? If 80% of Americans were Christ's followers, would America look like the way it looks right now? No. See, there's a lot of people who say, I am on my way to heaven. I belong to Christ. I am a Christian. But the word Christian means Christ's follower. You cannot follow Christ if you're not taking next steps, because that's what it means to obey him. See, if we're not doing what he wants us to do, if we're not taking the steps he wants us to take, then we got to be honest, and we're lying. So how do I figure out where I'm at? Well, in your notes, we put a spiritual assessment survey that is unique and specific to our church. It's the baby steps of our journey and kind of the way we word it here at Coastline. And what I want to encourage you to do, and you don't have to turn this in, and no one has to ever look at it, this is between you and you and God alone. But what I want to encourage you to do is go through the spiritual assessment survey, check the boxes of the steps that you've taken. And then if there's a box that you leave unchecked, what you owe yourself to do is ask yourself why. Why? You owe it to yourself to ask the question, why? Why haven't I taken that step? It could be because you didn't know. It could be because you've never heard about it. It could be because no one's ever taught you. It could be because you feel like it's a waste of time. It could be because you feel like it doesn't matter. You owe it to yourself to be honest and ask the question, why? So I encourage you, take the spiritual assessment survey, and then finally, over the next 21 days, I've created kind of a next steps prayer guide for you, something that I want you to bring with you to prayer over the next 21 days, and I want you to let God speak to you. Because what I want you to do is not try to figure out next steps on your own. Like, we all have an idea of what our next steps should be. What's actually better than that is ask God what your next steps should be. Like, there's things that I think should be my next step, but it's completely different when I say, God, what is my next step? God, what do you want next for me? You're in charge, you're in control, so you decide what my next step is. And so if you look at the last page of your notes, you have plenty of blanks to spend time in prayer and to journal out some next steps. Get some clarity for 2019. First, what is my next step in my relationship with God? That's the first thing in your little thing there. What is the next step? What is God asking of me? Maybe he wants you to go deeper in the Word and begin to read and study on a regular basis. Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe you have a habit or a hobby that's just distracting you. Maybe it's a relationship that God is saying, listen, this relationship is blocking me and you. Like, I want to be more a part of your life, but this relationship is in the way. Like, what is your next step in your personal relationship with God? What is your next step in your relationship with others? Do you have the right people speaking into your life? Is there people speaking into your life who really need to be minimized or eliminated altogether? Because they're not healthy. They're speaking the wrong things into you. They're the wrong influence, the wrong example in your life. What is your next step? And again, let God give you clarity. God will speak to you in every single one of these areas if you give him the opportunity. Ask yourself, what is my next step in my marriage? Again, can you imagine what our church would look like if every married couple who's part of Coastline took a next step this year in their marriage? Like, fell in love more, went deeper in their marriage. And trust me, you have a next step. Like, every marriage has a next step. The problem is, oftentimes, we don't ever set a goal. We don't ever have clarity. We don't ever even talk about what a next step is. We just kind of, like, live life and hope we get better. We kind of just kind of go through it randomly and just hope for the best instead of ever sitting down as a married couple and really saying, well, what is our next step as a married couple? You know, how can we get better as a married couple? How can we grow closer? What can we do? And just pray and seek God and ask God to guide and direct you. What is my next step in my parenting or my family? Like what is God showing me with my family? What is he showing me in my parenting? What's my next step? What's my next step in my workplace or my career, my business? What is God asking? Is it a step of faith? Where is he asking me to go? What's my next step in my witness? Witnessing is huge. This is what evangelism is. See, the beauty of evangelism is God has not asked you to be a scholar. God has just asked you to share your side of the testimony. That's all a witness does. When a witness goes to court, all they do is share their side of the story. All God wants you to do is share your side of his story. Your side of his story to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to your friends, to your family. What's your next step? What's your next step in serving in the church? Have you found your place? Paul said every single one of us have a place. Some people are feet, some people are hands, some people are ears, some people, we all have a place. Nobody is called to be a severed body part in the body of Christ. Like, we are all called to be connected somewhere in the body, functioning together for his purposes. And then finally, what's my next step in my small group? And this is a great one to do together as a small group. If you got your small group together over the next 21 days and say, let's pray, let's ask God, what does God want to do through our small group this year? Maybe it's a mission trip together. Maybe it's a work project. Maybe God wants you guys to study something together. But get your small group together and say, God, what do you want to do through it? What would you want through this small group this year? Get a focus, get a vision, get a purpose. And I'm telling you, when you get some clarity around your next steps, 2019 can be one of the greatest years of your life. See, here's what I believe to be true. Because we're spirits, we are spirits that have a body. You could have the greatest year of your life if it was the greatest year of your life spiritually. Think about that. You really could have the greatest year of your life if it was the greatest year of your life spiritually. So what steps do you need to take in your spirit? What steps do you need to take on your spiritual journey, your relationship with God, to set you up for success in 2019? Would you close your eyes with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray for each and every person here that you would give us clarity. God, all of us, including myself, we have a next step in this journey. None of us have arrived yet. And so I pray over the next 21 days that you would give us clarity, that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, guide us. In each of these areas, give us next steps in this journey for you. Show us how to get there. Give us the passion, the heart. And as a family, let each and every one of us commit to each other and commit to you that this year we will take a step. In the name of Jesus, amen. See, what God wants from you is not for you to go from here all the way down the road. All God wants from you is to take the next step. And everyone here is equipped to do that. Everyone here is equipped to take one step. And that's God's expectation of you. You may feel like, well, I'm so far behind. I have so much work to do. I've got so far to go. No, no, no. No, you don't. No, you don't. All you have to do is take the next step. That's it. You don't have a long way to go. You just have to take the next step. That's all God's expectation of you. Next step. Again, we have a dream team outside. They'd love to talk to you about next steps, talk to you about the one-year challenge, help you figure out how to sign up for different things or navigate you in the right direction. But I want to encourage all of us, let's commit to each other as a family to take a step this year. Would you stand with me? We're going to close with one song of worship. Our prayer team will be available. If you're here today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, maybe you're not a Christ follower, but you hear about this journey and for whatever reason, something leapt in your spirit, something jumped up inside of you and said, yes, that's what I need. Talk to somebody on our prayer team. They'd love to talk to you about what it means to follow Christ, to surrender your life to Jesus. If for whatever reason you need prayer, anything, no matter what's going on in your life, our team would love to pray with you today. They'll be here during the song and at the end of the song. Let's worship together and then we'll be out of here.